Join me in the call to worship printed in the bulletin. And stand. Come together and worship the Lord. On this mountain, we destroy the shroud. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Now let us sing our song of worship, number 32, How Great Thou Art. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithful providence which we have enjoyed, and for your gracious provision of fellowship with one another and with you. Teach us to receive your gifts with thanksgiving, that with grateful hearts we may enjoy the gifts that have come from you, who together with the Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service on this wonderful mid-October day. Sure was a beautiful day yesterday. We had the opportunity to get together over at the Chambers, and I was thinking it's almost July. October will come sometime. If you are our guest today, we're delighted that you're here, and we just want you to know how welcome you are. There are a few things to mention. At 1:30 this afternoon, we will have a missions outreach meeting, and at 7, the men who want to sing are going to meet again for another practice. So all of those of you who came before, you're welcome to come again, and those of you who did not, you're welcome to come. Last week we were blessed with missionaries, Emerson and Ivy Wu from Hong Kong and Sarah McCurdy from Costa Rica, and they shared with us in both the Sunday school hour and in the worship service, and we were grateful to be able to get in touch with them. This month is World Missions Offering Month, and we are asking that you prayerfully consider what to give to support not only them, but all of the other American Baptist missionaries. They're on the poster here in the front if you haven't had a chance to come by and look at it. I believe that those are all the announcements except the youth announcements. And I'm going to invite David to come forward and share with us.
So the next couple of weeks, the youth have a lot of things going on. Next week, or starting this Saturday at 2 o'clock, the youth will be raking the leaves around the church here, most notably on this side and then the back. And as you've seen, there are quite a few leaves, and we could use all the help that we can get. So if you have the strength, the desire to join us at 2 o'clock, provided there's no rain, because then we'll just kind of mow the leaves and mulch and let nature do its thing, but hopefully we will collect leaves this Saturday at 2 o'clock, so you're welcome to join us. Next Sunday, we'll be worshiping at Asbury United Methodist Church, which has the same scheduled worship time as our service, so we will leave here after Sunday school. And then the one that has a lot of questions, the Halloween party on the 28th. I mentioned on the sign of sheep that there's a potluck, and I guess to clarify things, it's not a formal sit-down kind of dinner with kind of a salad, like a long meal. It's just a, kind of a small handheld, I guess, goods. So hot dogs, if you want to make sliders. And so in terms of potluck, so it's not just all desserts and snacks and candy and all the junk food. We felt it was best to include at least one of the other food groups of the triangle. And so if you're, in terms of the potluck, so that's kind of clarify. if you would like to bring hot dogs, if you like to bring even some chili, small sandwiches, those are the kind of things that we look forward to kind of share as we begin that night of fun and fellowship. And the sign-up sheet is placed along the other sign-up sheets there.
Along with all the other sign-up sheets. And there's a Stepping Up Meal sign-up sheet that also has some openings, too. Thank you, David. Our song of praise this morning is In the Faith We Sing. It's number 2270, and it's a chorus called He Has Made Me Glad, and we'll sing it through twice. Shall we stand together this morning?
Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Bless these gifts, Lord, that we bring today with grateful hearts for your continuing grace, love, and mercy. Use these gifts for the furthering of your kingdom. Amen.
Let's have a children's moment this morning. Morning, Brennan. What I have? Actually, what this is a plaque, a very nice plaque, that used to hang up on one of the walls in the church in Illinois where I was the pastor. And they had two of them, so they let me take one. And it has on it the Ten Commandments.
The Commandments?
It's very nicely done. Thou shalt have no other God before me, is the first one. And the second one is, thou shalt not worship any graven image. Do you know what a graven image is?
No.
I don't think so. I had to look it up. What it really means is an image that somebody has carved. Something that somebody has made with their hands. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus that after the Israelites left Egypt, they went into the wilderness for a while. And while they were in the wilderness, Moses, who was their leader, went up on the mountain, and God gave him the Ten Commandments on two big stone tablets. But Moses was up there for a pretty long time. And so the Israelites kind of got restless. So what they did is they made an image of a calf. They made it out of gold. And then they started singing songs and dancing around it and worshiping it. So that when Moses came down, here, look, I have a picture. See what the picture is on the back? Sort of a representation of a statue of a cow and the people bowing down and worshiping. It's kind of interesting. If it was a real cow, we would say God made it. We don't worship the things that God made. We worship God. But this isn't even a real cow. It's a cow that the people made. So they sometimes people worship the things they make. And that's what this means, that we shall have no other gods before me, and we shall not worship a graven image. We don't worship the created things. We worship the Creator. And we don't worship the things we make. We worship God, because God made all things. Well, Moses was so mad when he got down to the mountain that he threw the stone tablets on the rocks and broke them. He ended up having to go back up and get new ones later. But you can think about that. When you see something like a cow, you can think, God made that, and give thanks. But you don't worship things God made. And when you see a thing, a statue, or a building, or anything that people make, you don't worship those things either. You worship God. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that you taught us to worship you. We're thankful for all that you have made, and that you have given us the ability to produce and make things. But we pray that our minds and our hearts would always be focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there concerns or joys that you would like to share with the congregation this morning?
Jim read on Facebook that Tim Chester had his heart surgery, and he was scheduled to go home, but he's going to have to stay an extra day or so because there is an issue with AFib, which is not a good thing. So we need to keep Tim in our prayers.
Tim Chester.
This morning before coming to church, I stopped by to see Jean Seiler, where she lives at Willowbrook now, and she said to give her greetings to everybody here.
I have a thanks that I was able to go and visit my dad, who's now 91. And my sisters and I actually were able to take him out over, you know, for an overnight trip down to the shore, Atlantic City in New Jersey. And that's the first time he's been out of his facility for overnight since he had the stroke. So that was a really wonderful thing.
I think it's good for us to remember to be in prayer for people that are in places that have had disasters recently. People in Houston, there are still people in shelters there and recovering, and the people in Florida and in Puerto Rico, people who suffered from the earthquakes in Mexico. And we are also mindful of people in Las Vegas who suffered in the shooting that occurred there, and also the people in California who are enduring wildfires that are excessive at this time. It's good for us to pray for our country and its leaders and those who serve. Shall we pray? We're grateful to be able to come and tell you our concerns. We know that you know them and that you hear them. We pray that you would hear these, the ones we have spoken and the ones we have not. We know that sometimes our dearest prayer concerns are the ones we do not share. We pray that you would hear them as we lift them up from our hearts. We are thankful also that you have given us this wonderful world to live in, with the beauty of nature, with friendship and family, with pleasing experiences that accompany us throughout life. We pray that we would always be mindful that you are the one who is the source of all good things, and that your grace and love has been showered upon us. We are not always mindful. Sometimes we neglect. Sometimes we become discouraged. Sometimes selfish. Sometimes angry. Sometimes we do things that are harmful. Harmful to the ones we love. Sometimes harmful to ourselves and harmful to our neighbor. We pray for forgiveness and for transformation. We pray that your grace would mend and make us whole. We pray this for ourselves. We pray this for the people we live around that are close to us. We pray it for the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand together for our song of meditation, which is number 312, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Let's stand and sing together.
Our scripture this morning is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. This is his closing appeal for steadfastness and unity. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. May God add a blessing to this word.
this little letter that Paul wrote to the people at Philippi is filled with memorable texts and passages that have inspired and encouraged believers throughout the generations, encouraged them to pursue a deepening of their faith, but also it has comforted and guided them through difficult times. We have had the opportunity in recent weeks to hear some of those passages. To live is Christ, and to die gain. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Those are the ones that we've heard recently. Do everything without complaining. That's the next line. But whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness that is of my own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. I've learned to be content in all circumstances. I can do everything through him who strengthens me. And I'm sure I have left some out. But all of this is packed into this letter. And I've always been drawn to the message of this letter because of its emphasis on joy and peace, humility and faith. Whenever there is need for encouragement because of circumstances in the world, or perhaps circumstances in the private realm of personal lives, or when the two seem to team up and create a sense of insecurity, an unsettled feeling that things may be falling apart, or maybe a feeling of sadness, this letter lifts us up. It's hard to remember when you read it, that Paul was in prison when he wrote it. And I don't think that there's anything that we can do to diminish the significance of being in prison. Sometimes we might say he was under house arrest, or he was allowed these certain freedoms, but I don't think that that would really matter. And he mentions along the way the church's conflict with its culture when he says, or when he speaks of those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He says their destiny is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. But he also mentions dissensions within the congregation, exhorting these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, to find a way to get along and to work together with the others there. I think most of us are probably driven by our circumstances sometimes. When our circumstances are going well, we feel good. And when there's some kind of trouble, we get anxious. And when bad things happen, it makes us sad. It's only natural. But one of the things I think Scripture does is it forces us to recognize that those swings represent universal truths. That the anxiety, for instance, that we might feel at times of heightened stress is really always there. Even when we are able to suppress it. The proximity of death and the ever-present struggle with sin and evil and the search for meaning are universal. Everyone encounters them, no matter the time and place where they live and no matter the circumstances. They are a feature of human experience that is universal. It cannot be escaped. And sometimes that's what Paul does. And sometimes the Bible is able to help us draw ourselves up out of our circumstances into the more universal situation that we live in. And the temptation, when we know that we fail to overcome sin in our life, or when we know that death is coming and it's like a cloud that covers life, the temptation is to be discouraged. But Paul resists this temptation and exhorts his readers also to resist it. This passage that we have read this morning is famous. It's one that I say out loud every morning when I wake up to remind myself always to pray and to tell God all my requests, to remind myself to be grateful and not to be anxious. Have no anxiety about anything, Paul writes. But he gives us tools, and one of the tools that he gives us is this little phrase that we sort of pass over when we read it. The Lord is at hand, he writes. God is very near. To be aware of God's presence is one of the things that that the Bible suggests to us. To be aware of God's nearness, the God who heals and comforts and strengthens and guides, the God who guards our lives, keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Another tool that Paul gives us is what one might call by itself the power of positive thinking, but I don't really think it is that. It's more. It tells us to focus on the affirmations that we can make. In other words, look at the positives. Speaks of things that are right and true and pure and noble. Speaks of things that are praiseworthy and excellent. And tells us to focus our attention, to think about those things. It really does make a difference. And here's the thing. When Paul speaks of the excellent things, he's telling us, and I think the Bible tells us, that the excellent things are things that come from God, because God is the source of everything that is good. The excellent things are God's presence. They are reminders of God's proximity, of how near God is to us. One of the things that we noticed in our Sunday school class where we're studying the Psalms is that the beauty of nature, of the grandeur of creation or the heavens, causes praise. The fall color that is coming, this is a gift. But other things too, the kind word from a stranger, or maybe even from a friend. The encouraging word that just hits you at the right time. The heroic actions. We've seen some catastrophes lately, and we've heard stories about people who seem to have risen above the circumstances and done wonderful things. Friendship. The sound of children laughing. The music of the high school orchestra. Even the giving of an offering for missions or for disaster relief or to alleviate hunger when people sacrifice for someone else. And I am sure that if you are thinking about it, you'd have your own list and could go on and on of the good things, the excellent things, the praiseworthy things. These things are not necessary. We are not owed them. They are gifts from God to remind us of how near God is, caring for us. Think about such things. Even the letter to the Philippians is a most excellent thing. And so is the 23rd Psalm, which is also the reading from the Psalms for this day. And I was tempted to let it be the focal text, because I'm as inspired by it as I am by Philippians. A song of praise because of God's nurturing care. This pastoral scene, which brings thoughts of anointing, of the restoration of the soul, feasting before enemies, mercy and love and goodness, the promise of heaven. I think we're reminded by all the Psalms, but especially this one, that the vision of beauty and plenty and rest that we find there is always a vision in times of trouble. For that is the meaning of the, even though I walk through the valley of death's shadow, even though we live our life under the cloud of sin and death, we find this wonderful life because, as in Philippians, God is with us. The 23rd Psalm makes us think of David, and we think of the trouble he faced when he was a shepherd or when he was a soldier. Or we might think of the trouble of Israel. I mean, when they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness and they had to trust God for food and water. Or even the trouble of Paul in prison. And Paul writes about the things that he has experienced, and some of them would, of the things that he experienced, would break me. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be able to stand up under some of the things that he faced. But these situations, even the situation that Jesus was in on the cross, have become an example for us, for all people, of how this beautiful, wonderful life and this wonderful salvation has come to us in the midst of a troubled world. We come to these texts, as countless people have before us, and certainly will, when the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the wildfires and the shootings and the individual burdens that characterize our lives all come at once. It seems like there's a piling on, like there has been recently. And it speaks to us of God as shepherd, reminding us of God's presence. So I was encouraged when I saw these texts today. And I thought it would be good for us, because most of the time we don't read the 23rd Psalm in worship services. We read them at funerals. That's where I read it most of the time. But I thought it would be good for us to finish this worship service with the words of the 23rd Psalm, as we have been encouraged by the words of Philippians. Let us also be encouraged by this bright and lovely gift, admirable and most excellent and praiseworthy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Dear God, you know what each of us brought in to this worship service. You know the secret troubles and hardships we bear. You know the anxieties that we share. We pray that you would lift them away. We pray that you would take them away from us now in the assurance of your grace and of the love that has come to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our song of dedication this morning is In the Faith We Sing, It's They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love, number 2223, and we invite you to stand it and sing it as a hymn of commitment. Lord, we pray as we go that you would go with us, always reminding us of your presence, of your grace, of your commitment to take care of us, and always reminding us of your love. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, I want you to celebrate.
Oh, thank you.